Here we go. It's really good to be here. We came through a couple of years ago when we, Mike Walker's conference, stopped by here Sunday night, listened to a message. I wanted to thank you for that. Your hospitality has been exemplary and has made us feel quite at home, Brandon and Angie and Cole way back there. Make us feel very comfortable. And it's just a joy to be here. Now, I may be jacked up, and I use that term because of the grandbaby. He's 4 weeks old, but I'm nervous too. So bear with me. I think I got something for you. I really do. Turn with me to Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 1 through 5 and then skip to verse 13 to the end of the chapter. Job chapter 1, starting in verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. There were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters, and substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men in the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. Now skip with me to verse 13. And there was a day, what a day, when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and there came a messenger unto Job and said, "The oxen were plowing, the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, "The fire of God has fallen from heaven and burnt up the sheep and the servants that consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "The Chaldeans made out 3 bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, "Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the 4 corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshipped, and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. What I want to look at, even though the name of the book is Job, I want to look at these 4 messengers. One, look at this tragic events and see the everlasting gospel. In verses 15 through 19, let's just go over what happened. The first messenger, he escaped kidnapping, captivity, slavery, and murder. Death. He escaped death. The second messenger in verse 16 escaped judgment or weather calamity, however you want to call it, and death. The third messenger escaped raid and sudden attack and death. And the last messenger escaped unexpected and total house collapse and death. So what do these all four messengers have in common? They escaped death. I wonder what we would be thinking if this would have happened to us. It's pretty difficult to grasp, put your mind around it. What about us here today? This word escaped, it could be rendered rescued or preserved, which tells me they didn't have anything to do with their deliverance. They didn't have anything to do with their being rescued. What about us here this morning? Spiritually speaking, providentially speaking, and speaking of grace and by grace speaking, could we not all tell any who would ask us what we have been delivered from, like these four here? Eternal, certain, and deserved death. But they escaped. Only those four. Specifically, when we fell in Adam. Completely, totally. This alone is enough to place us in hell's inferno. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried and rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. Jump down to verse 9. For I am, me, I only, this is all He's saying, am the least of the apostles. We could say that here this morning. We're less than anybody. And I'm not meet to be called a saint. Verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Four messengers, four deliverances, four rescues, four, as it says in our text, escapes. We just look back at the days of our youth. We had a four-week-old child born in sin. Our days of our youth were spent in folly and youthful lusts, all against God and our Maker and Christ, our mighty Redeemer, led away captive with every whim and fancy, carelessly and without respect to God or His honor or His glory. What about our teenage years, young adult seasons? Self is in full swing. Full swing. It's our first fruits. It's all about me, myself, and I. Deceived and deceiving ourselves and going the way of the world, enticed and enjoying all of its anti-God, anti-gospel and ways and pleasure. Can we not remember, says Isaiah 51, the pit from which we've been pulled? This isn't luck here. We don't even talk about that. We don't think about that. Personally, let us recall or remember, I only am escaped alone to tell you. Tell what? Tell what? Well, that word is actually, it can be to tell, it can be rendered declare or announce. Now it sounds like you're the gospel, right? The trumpet of Jubilee. The herald, what are you going to tell about? That you've escaped by God's free and sovereign grace. You were just there. and others were there with you. And this great tragedy happened. Well, we're going to talk about our fall. Those things that I just mentioned, our youth and our younger days and youthful experiences, is a complete fall. It was a total fall, a ruinous fall. A fall to which we all, in and of ourselves, could make no restitution. These men, the message they had is, I could not save myself. It doesn't even enter in the narrative. Secondly, we're going to tell of God's sovereign grace. Somebody asked me, and I'm pretty basic. I always talk about common denominator. I used to enjoy math. And you take that fraction, you go to low, that's the simplest, and that's me. That's what you're going to get. Somebody says, well, what is this sovereign grace? I said, sovereign is who he is, grace is how he saves. We talk of his free and sovereign grace and mercy found only in the substitute. How did I escape? By luck, by chance, by my will? No, never. Never that. But in the fullness of time, when it pleased God, he separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem. I love that word redeem. Again, simple. When you women and men, when you redeem a coupon, who gets that? Who printed that coupon? The company that you're redeeming it, if it's IGA or, you know, Hortons or whoever, if you have, you're giving it back to them. It was theirs to begin with. He's redeemed his people. He's buying them back. Nobody else. That's redemption. That's redemption. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons and daughters, God has sent forth his Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. We were dead in trespasses and sins, but you hath he quickened. Grace. Grace, how sweet it does sound in the believer's ear. Newton was right. Why? If you read his, what his life was like, slave trader, then sold, then slave himself, he escaped. He owed it all to God's rich mercy and grace, found only in the, not a, the substitute. My stepfather asked me one time, he says, you keep talking about the gospel, and he was pretty smart. An old Navy man. He'd been around. He said, you keep talking about thee like it's the only one. I said, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. Thee. Thirdly, what are we going to tell? What are we going to talk about? What are we going to declare? What are we going to announce? I'm going to tell you of a sufficient, supreme, and complete satisfaction in and through and because of Christ the Lord, the Son of God, Emmanuel. That's what we're going to talk about. A perfect righteousness he gave us by his obedience unto death. And he took upon him all my corruptions and miseries and washed them away truly, purely, and voluntarily. Who does that? Christ. Because we couldn't. We sing that hymn. I think you have it in your course book too. Did you hear what Jesus said to me? They're all taken away. Fourthly, I'm going to tell you that I'm complete in him. The Father will receive me, the Son purchased me, and the Spirit enables me to glorify his blessed name evermore. Evermore. Fifthly, I'm not going to keep quiet. By God's grace, given me, you haven't stopped preaching. I've known you for a while, not very close, but our paths have crossed numerous times at Cherokee Conference. I first met the little rascal. Neither one of us. I had more hair. He was black. He had black and didn't have gray hair. Known Tim since early 81 or so. But he haven't stopped. We can't. The love of Christ constrains us. We're not going to stop. We're not going to shut up or hold our tongue. Turn with me to Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 14. And I will satiate the soul of the priest of fatness, and my people, my messengers, my proclaimers, my declarers, my ambassadors for Christ shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord. I'm satisfied with Christ. I'm satisfied with Christ. In this world of, in this country, and I love this country, in this world, this country of want, need, got to have it, got to have the shiniest object. Four messengers, they only escaped to tell. Not about the weather. Not about this, not about that. And we do these things. We live in the world. I'm not saying that. I'm not above it. We are in this world. So we do these things. But wouldn't your neighbor, your little grandson, wouldn't you want them to understand and know Christ? We alone. Some of us are the only ones in our family that the Lord has revealed himself to yet, so far. We sing that song, and I'm sure you do, Redeemed. I sing, for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. Let me read you something here by Mr. Hawker. Hail, great, glorious, and sovereign Lord. To you, blessed Jesus, every knee shall bow. You are our all in all in creation and redemption, providence, grace, and glory. You are all in all in your church, in the hearts of your people, in all their joys and all their happinesses and all their exercises and their privileges. You are the all in all in thy word, ordinances, means of grace, the sum and substance of the whole Bible. Speak we of promises? You are the first promise in the sacred word and the whole of every promise that follows, for you are all in all and yea and amen. Speak we of the law? Thou art the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. Speak we of sacrifices? By thy one sacrifice thou hast forever perfected them that are sanctified. Speak we of prophecies? To thee give all the prophets witness that whosoever believeth in thee shall receive remission of sins. Yes, blessed, blessed Jesus, you are all and in all. Be it always so to us, the people of your choice. The fourth thing I have is what did they escape from? How did they escape? And what are they telling? It's the gospel. But let's look at something else. What does such an escape, if you've been redeemed, you've been called out, what does such an escape, what does that result in? What are the results of that? What does such communications determine? What are we going to say? Well, first, a wholesome remembrance. Don't ever forget. Don't ever forget. This place has been here a long time. And it's still here. Maybe not tomorrow. Cherish one another. Cherish the preaching of the gospel. Because I preached a message years ago when Christ is, I think it's John, he says, ask Christ's disciples, is he the Christ? And Christ says, are you the one? And he says in the Gospels, he says, well, you go back and tell them what you've seen. And he says, the lame, the blind, and he's listening to all these miracles. And you know what he has in there? The gospel's preached. Every time that man, God enabling, and that man, and whoever's coming up here to preach the word, if God enables them to preach the grace of God, it is a miracle. It's wondrous. It's glorious. What Lance said, I was just dumbfounded. He just kept peeling away and peeling away and peeling away. And Tim, you hear it, and that's it. That's it. Let us remember, never forget, it is our dear Lord that has made us to differ. It, like a little child runs to its mother's arms, may we flee to Christ in thankfulness. Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21, 22, and 23. This I recall. What's that? I'm less than the least. I'm nothing. I can't redeem myself. I can't keep myself. Even believers, example of that, those two on the road to Emmaus, they were believers. And Christ is what with them. They didn't even recognize him until he, by his sovereign free grace, opened their minds. That's what he says. And a believer, yes, we understand he's got the laws written in our hearts. But unless the Spirit opens that and unlocks that and reveals Christ, we're still about as dumb as a box of rocks. Let us never forget. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. I've recently retired, but you get up in the morning and you go to work. No. Get up a little earlier and open the book. Ask for instruction, because it's dog eat dog out there. I guess you all sing, "It is well with my soul." There's a man named that wrote that hymn named Horatius Spafford. He had some severe trials. He was a lawyer in Chicago. His 4-year-old son died of scarlet fever before the Chicago fire hit and took all of his, he lost about everything. He had 4 daughters and a wife. He set them on a ship, Go over to Europe and I'll come. I've got business ends to tie up and I'll come with you. Well, on the way over there, they collided with another ship, went down. Lost all. Here's what his wife said. She telegraphed him, "Saved alone. I only saved to tell you." What did he do? Well, he was going over to meet his wife in Europe. And the captain said, "This is about the spot where your children lost their lives." He wrote, "It is well. I couldn't do that. It is well with my soul. I couldn't do that." Claire, we heard a wonderful story, the truth, from Lance. What could Claire, and you said she's a believer, so I don't doubt you, what could she tell us? Survived alone. Don't keep it in to tell. We thought we lost you. Well, survived alone. Tell of his glory. Help us to hear of his glory. Secondly, what does this such an escape result in? Let us determine always to give God the glory due his most wonderful name. Let us echo what Paul said in Romans chapter 8. There is nothing that shall separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. Let us determine to glorify Him, which basically is what Job did. He heard it. Didn't charge God foolishly. Worship. Every time we gather together here. Every time we gather in Jackson. Isomville. Out in the mission field. Cherokee. Wherever. Miracle. You're hearing a miracle? Don't forget. And give God the glory. In closing, I asked myself this when I read this heart-wrenching. Have I really escaped? Have you really escaped? Have you truly escaped the grasp of Satan, the dominion of sin, and the tyranny of the world? You know. Have you? He opened the prison doors. I only, for you, if you're one of His. Has He done so? If He's done so, it is owing all to the accomplishments of that balm in Gilead, that rock of ages, that bread that falls from heaven. If He has done so for you and for me, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even for God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Ephesians 4. Do these things. But I say, echo what this book emphatically, page after page, says. 1 John 15:16. I have chosen you. You haven't chosen me. Secondly, Hosea 14:8. From Him is our fruit found. And lastly, and I like this one, John 15:5. Without Christ, we can do nothing. In closing, let's turn to Psalms 66. Psalms 66. And verse 16, this guy, I think, sums it up. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will announce what He hath done for my soul. Lord bless you.